Hello. So, on today's episode, I might get a little bit personal, but don't worry, it's nothing serious, okay? So let's get into it. Talking about hypergamy has taught me so much, right? And it has helped me understand a lot about myself that I either was confused about before or didn't even know at all. Growing up, I was made to believe that hypergamy was impossible, and having anybody help you, man or woman, was not ideal. And this belief wasn't something that was taught to me like, hey, sit down, let me tell you something. It was more like watching people's behaviors and studying how they would react to things. So that's how, you know, I saw it play out. And I thought, oh, okay, this is how life works. Even though deep down somewhere in my heart, I was like, eh? I was like, eh? I'm in trouble. Oh, yes. For a long time, I found it really difficult asking for help. I would never ask for help. And what even made it worse, look, if it was that I'm an extroverted person, you know, I'm very uppity, out and about, but I don't like asking for help. It's different, right? At least you can see people to ask help from. No, me. Never ever was I ever like that. Even till now, sometimes I struggle. I was so introverted. I didn't want anybody in my space, and I never wanted to be in anybody's space either. So even if anybody would invite me anywhere, I was saying, no, I'm not going. That in itself is a good thing, because it just keeps you safe and, you know, keeps you far away from trouble, which I still hold on to. That's why I like being in my own space, right? But it's not so ideal, because no man is an island, and you cannot continue to live your life in isolation, right? Did I know this? No. So I never asked for help. And there was nobody even around to even ask me, do you need? There's somebody to ask me, do you need help? Because I would automatically say, no. And I think it really confused people, because they looked at me and thought, but you're a beautiful woman. Beautiful women actually... In fact, they'll even shout, yes, we need help, please. They'll even look for you to help them. But you're telling me you don't need help? Scary. But I started to realize it's not going to work like that. And we all need help at some point in our lives. And we should ask. Then I began watching Share 7, and this really helped me put my thoughts together, because even though I would always isolate myself, I had a very bad temper. I'm talking the kind of temper that would leave the interiors of the house in ruins, in shambles, that kind of temper. And like, it was very quick. You know how, I think electric kettles, I even saw it, like when you put water in and 5 minutes later, it's already hot. My temper was very, very much quicker. And it would come like a flash, and afterwards you start to think, was it all worth it? Like, having that, displaying the dramatics, if after it's all said and done, you look back and you think, did I really have to go that far? Am I a monster? But the way I managed to curtail it is thinking. I started to think, so let me teach you how, you know, you should do it too. When you sense yourself getting upset over something, that's when you should be quiet. Very quiet. And you're quiet not because you don't know what to say, or you don't know what to do, or you don't know how to respond or react, but because you're thinking and you're looking at the situation from another point of view. Like, it's like an out-of-body experience. And you're looking at it and you're saying to yourself, I know why this person would say this, because they feel this, and that way. And they think I did this, and that intentionally, or they think I am like this, and that, but I'm not. So it's going to go two ways, right? You're going to let the person finish, and you're going to come from a point of view of understanding. I understand why you're upset. First of all, that's like the first step. Then the second step is to control your reaction. So not after thinking, you know, you've seen the whole situation and you're like, hey, even though I saw what? Like, after saying, I understand, you're just like, hey. No. So you have to control the way you would react to the situation. And you hold yourself back. Especially if you know you're going to say something crazy or do something insane, hold yourself back. Just be quiet. And give yourself another 10, 20 minutes. Look, you can count sheep. Sometimes I count sheep. So like one sheep, two sheep, three sheep, four sheep. Just to get your mind. So it's like taking... Let me explain it better. Right now, wherever you are, you know the way... Let me do it properly. Right now, wherever you are, I want you to close your eyes. Are they closed? And I want you to stay calm and focus. I want you to take that focus you've already created and put it at your fingertips. Don't move. Just take that consciousness, that focus, at your fingertips. Do you feel your fingertips without moving? Yeah. Both hands. Both fingers. You can alternate the movement from left to right, from left hand to right hand, from right hand to left hand, but you can feel your fingertips, right? I want you to take that same consciousness, feel your lips. Don't move your lips, just feel it. It's there, right? You can feel your lips. I want you to take that same consciousness to your knee. Do you feel your knees? Feel your knees. Right? Now open your eyes. Like that. So, all of that focus, right? All of that consciousness. I need you to use it to count sheep, because it is taking your consciousness from what an immediate reaction would be to something totally different. And then over time, from counting sheep, you start to think about what you're going to eat when you're at home. I'm not even joking. Like, the art of not caring is so easy to do. The art of not reacting too quick is very easy to do. Because while somebody's there losing their shit, you're thinking about what you're going to eat when you get home. Or the clothes you haven't washed, your laundry, or the clothes you haven't folded, or I left. Where is that? Like, you just start thinking about silly things. Where is that shirt that I wore? In 2018, my sister took my top and didn't return it. Because I remember I saw that top on her last week. And I was asking her, where did you get this top? I did not know that she took it from me. Like, if I catch that girl. You just start to think of, like, the most ridiculous things. And that's not because you're stupid. But it's a way of controlling yourself, right? It's a way of controlling how you react to things. And it's a way of being level-headed, right? So, by the time you're done with that, right? By the time you've successfully distracted yourself, you'd realize you're a bit calmer. Now you're very quiet, right? All this time, you're just really quiet. And you're a bit calmer. Then you can look at the situation. And then you can begin. I understand where this person is coming from. I understand how this person feels. But I don't have to tolerate being spoken to like this. I don't have to tolerate being scolded like a child, or being talked down on, or being absolutely disrespected, so much so that this person wants me to act out a character. You know how when parents tell their children, you're crying, I'll soon give you something to cry about. I'll give you something to actually shed tears over. And it's in that same way, you know, that person is trying to trigger you and trying to make you act out of character to do something. Because some people just want to know how far is too far for you. How far is too far for you? I like, what's the worst you can do? I actually want to see it play out. Don't ever give people that chance to make you act out of character. Don't you ever. Because being in character is so peaceful. You have so much peace of mind. Do you understand? There's nothing to gain in always spreading your shoulders. If you don't understand what that means, I don't have to explain to you. Always showing yourself, always proving you have power. It gets tiring at some point because everybody now knows, yes, you have power. And then it brings in selfishness. And then that brings in disrespect. And you don't want that. There's absolutely nothing to gain from always having a reaction, a bad reaction to situations that happen. There's nothing to gain. And then when you're done realizing that you don't have to tolerate, that is when you decide. You decide to either speak on the issue and explain yourself and where you're coming from and say, look, that's not, you know, what I meant, or that's not how I intended the, you know, discussion or the whatever to go. I thought it would go right, but it went left. I thought it would go north, but it went south. And I'm sorry. If you have to apologize, you apologize and you say, I'm sorry. It is so simple. You apologize and you say, I'm sorry. If you know, you either don't want to apologize or you don't have to apologize. You just not speak on it and allow the situation take its course by itself. So if you're able to wave it off and say, all right, cool, and just let it be what it is, that's fine. Don't be too quick to act out and I'm an aggressive person. You're wasting your time, trust me. There's so many other things you can be doing with your time than acting out. Right? I'm not even that kind of person. I've never been. Well, I've had a bad temper, but they're usually short-lived and I'm on to the next thing. And that's why I don't see why I should always act up if my temper is short-lived. It's like setting some city on fire and then the next minute you're like, I'm craving ice cream. Are you insane? Do you see what you've just done? You're craving ice cream. Like, that should be the least of your problems. So after realizing that, hey, I'm not going to be angry forever, so I might as well learn to control it so it doesn't get out of hand. That being said, when you change your behavior, you learn to control your emotions and how you react to things, and, you know, weigh your options. Is it worth tearing apart? Or is there something you still want to hold on to there? If there's something you still want to hold on to there, I strongly advise you don't just rip it apart immediately like that, right? Then, what would come into play again would be your demeanor, your mannerisms. As a woman who wants to practice hypergamy, it would mean you would be dealing with the manliest of men. The man who provides and protects and is very masculine in his masculine energy and works and is constantly on the move. If that's who you want to be with, he may not really appreciate you being as masculine as he is. So, it would really help if you would be more feminine in the way you speak, in the things you do, in the things you look. This is the rule, right? But there are exceptions to the rule because there's still people who are with the manliest of men and they probably have kinks in their relationship, say submissive and dominant, and the woman is probably dominant and he's more submissive in their relationships. Or say, oh, because he really likes her, he's going to tolerate just about anything, because it doesn't matter to him. He's just like, yeah, yeah, that's my girlfriend, or yeah, that's how my wife is, but I really love her, so she's not going anywhere, right? But if those are not the exceptions that apply to you, just follow the rule, okay? Just follow the rule. And this is why you should be with someone who actually genuinely likes you. Because when he does, especially with men, when men really like you, they share their resources with you. And saying this means what it means. Men will give you things you need to survive. And they really like you. And that's just how they show their love and affection. That's just it. Their resources are things that they've worked really hard for. They fought tooth and nail. They've bantered, argued, almost had a physical fight to get. And they're telling you, this thing I almost died for, I'm willing to share the what you call that thing now? I'm willing to share the gains from it with you, the profit from it with you, because I like you that much. They don't just go around giving everybody their money. They just have to like you that much to do that for you, right? And that's just how it is, right? That's just how it is. So if there is ever a time when you notice that the person you're with is questioning why he should do certain things for you, why he should give you certain things, you know, and he says something like, why do you think you're so special, like something in that line of, why do you think you're so special that I would give you this, or why should I do that? He doesn't really like you that much. And I'm saying this because I know what it feels like to be like, I won't say love, because I just think love is such a strong word. But, okay, let me say love. Jesus. When a man... Am I talking about a man? Yes. I've been loved, right? And I know what that feels like. Nothing was ever put to question. Nothing I ever asked for was put to question of, oh, why should I give you this? In the sense of, are you deserving of this? It was, if at all, there was a why. It was more like, okay, how are you going to put that to good use? Let me hear it. And sometimes, if it didn't even make sense, it was like, okay, I get it. This is what you actually want to spend it on. But you don't want me to know that this is what you want to spend it on. But chill. It's cool. And so I know what it feels like. So I'm not just telling you, oh, when a man did, and I've never experienced it. I know what it looks like, it feels like, it is, right? Once there is and like in such a malicious way that he doesn't like you, forget it, okay? Just forget it. And go find somebody who actually genuinely likes you enough. Point blank, period. That's just how it works. So, you change behavior. And then you find someone who actually likes you. Right? Another thing that would really help you on this journey of hypergamy is how you dress. Your clothing, your style, it says a lot about you. I used to like to wear short dresses, short things in general. Why? Because the society I live in is kind of creepy and weird. So women have body parts, right? But we're made to feel shame for having these parts that serve us because we are human beings. We're made to feel shame for having them due to someone else's inability to not look at another human being and sexualize them. And so that was just my way of rebelling. Like, look, I can wear whatever I want. You can say whatever you want, but it's one thing to say what you want, and it's another thing to like be in close proximity while you're saying it. And after a while, I think I just got bored. It wasn't a thing of me being scared of what people will say, that's why I changed my dress. I'm just being honest. It was more of boredom. I got bored with the same routine, the same dresses, the same clothes, and I wanted to switch it up, and I did. And it has helped, right? Because even the people who knew me before I decided to, you know, change how I dress, treat me differently. They may not know that they're treating me differently, but I can tell. Is it sad? Maybe a little bit, because really, regardless of what someone would wear, you should see them as human beings. But it doesn't work like that where I'm from. So we can all, where I'm from, we can all sit on our phones and type away all day talking about, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. But when it comes to us facing our reality, because of our culture, it matters all the time. Is it sad? Yes. But you know what they say, when you're in Rome, you behave like the Romans, so. And what I've noticed, aside the web, and being treated, that has changed is the kinds of people that speak to me, especially men. So don't get me wrong, all of them still look at me, but not all of them are bold enough to walk up to me anymore, and that's nice. Because it brings me so much peace. So I'm not catching an attitude all day, every day, because somebody I don't like is talking to me and not getting the hint that I'm not interested. So now it's more of, like, I feel like it's more generic. No, I don't think that's it. Organic? No, that's not the word. It's nicer? No. Where is this vocabulary now when I need it? It's more okay, it's more honest now. Right? Look, when men see you, the first thing they always think about is how to get in your. But now it's more like, yeah, I mean, that's what I still want, but I still want to get to know you. And it's nicer that way. Right? So, you feel much, much, much more confident. You can wear whatever you want and still be confident. But for me, I just felt a lot more confident when I changed my entire wardrobe. I still have my short dresses, but I feel like I would only wear them to the beach. Yeah, to the beach, because there it doesn't matter. Like, there's an ocean right there. The breeze has to touch you one way or another. And that's how I feel with, you know, my style of clothing, my choice of clothing, right? And the thing is, even when I had my short dresses and my revealing clothes, the problem was always, it's too short, you're showing cleave, and I've said it here before, when you see me, you instantaneously see my chest. It's like, you? Your tits. And that's how it is. Right? So that hasn't changed. Have people stopped judging me? No. I always, like, sometimes when I get a glimpse of how people see me, I'm a much different person from who I think I am. The way people see me and who they think I am is crazy. It's insane. Like, it's out of this world. And every time I hear them say it, or every time I understand from maybe the way they talk to me, I'm always like, you think I'm somebody that I'm not. Why do you think that? So it hasn't really stopped them from judging me. Where I come from, if you are curvy or you're heavy chested or you have a larger backside, nobody cares whether you wear the longest dress or the most covered clothes. Who you are to them is who you are to them. Even if you show them you're not that, they always feel like deep down inside you have the ability to be that. So they're waiting on the day you decide to be that person. And it's crazy. So it really didn't stop me from being judged, but I feel better. I don't even care whether I'm judged or not. I just feel better about myself. And I've had a different, you know, experience with men, you know, more clothed than I was less clothed. Okay, so that's that about clothing. I've talked about behavior, I've talked about clothing. What was the second one that I talked about? I think it was being more feminine. No, controlling your emotions, behavior, clothing, and I think the last one that I would, you know, advise is to understand that and this is for everybody, both men and women. Hypergamy is about material things, and this is also about the safety having those material things break. I'm going to say this because I'm not the holiest of the holies and I'm not self-righteous, but even if you're with a married man, it has to benefit you one way or another, because in the times that he is not with you, he is with his family, he is with his wife and he's with his kids. And in that moment, your existence does not matter at all. It is a sad reality. As if you're with a married person, okay? It's a sad reality. In that moment, your existence doesn't count. And that's how it's gonna hurt. And that's why you have to have something to hold on to. Something that is beneficial to you. Okay? So, he has to support you financially. In the times that he's there, he has to be there and present with his, you know, consciousness. He has to be there with you when he is with you. Okay, so it's not like he's with you and he's like, no. That's why you cannot be all over the place with your emotions. And because if he's there with you, he's not there with you. And if you don't even care about the emotions or his presence, it just has to benefit you because you are giving him something in turn, which is your time, probably your body, probably your whatever it is, your presence, whatever it is, right? Your company, your companionship. Oh my god, this English. Your company or your companionship or whatever it is that you're giving him. And it's like, it has to be worth something, okay? But if you're not dealing with a married person, and it's just you, I've never been married, right? I may know a thing or two about how to advise you if you're married, but because I've never been married, everything I would be saying would purely be based off of what I have heard from other people, not out of experience. I've never experienced it. In fact, I strongly believe that married couples should have separate bedrooms. Jesus. I strongly believe that because I don't understand why we're sleeping in the same bed every night for the rest of our lives. Don't you get tired? I wake up in the morning, I'm moving around my room, it's your things that I am seeing. Maybe it's because I shared a room with my sibling at some point, like on up until maybe early adulthood. So I feel like sharing a room with my partner is the same thing. No space, no privacy, nothing. Just your stuff everywhere. I go into the bathroom, your toothbrush, your toothpaste, your towel, your laundry basket, everything is just in my face that belongs to you. Why? I go into the room, I open the wardrobe, your clothes, your shoes, your on the bed, your things, on your side of the bed, your things. Jesus, give me a break. I get it, we're married. Do you want to enter my body too? Should we merge and become one person? Are we twins? But yeah, so back to what I was saying. Any advice I would be giving married couples now would be based off of, I heard somebody said this is how it works, so let me give you that same advice today, which would not be entirely fair because I've never experienced it, so I don't even know how to explain it in a way that even me myself I would understand. But I could give you, like, from what I've said, tips that I've given, you could take like one or two from it and apply, right? And so back to, if you're with your boyfriend, unmarried, don't ever make anybody tell you marriage is just a piece of paper. Don't ever try it. If anybody tells you that, just know he's automatically telling you he doesn't want to marry you. See, when men like you as a woman, if a man likes you, he doesn't mince his words. He doesn't confuse you. He doesn't make you think is his was and was his is. He doesn't do that. White is white and black is black. He tries as much as possible to tell you, look, I like you, okay? I like you. He does it in the things he says, the things he does for you. He will tell you, he will show you. He will never confuse you. So if that man is telling you, marriage is just a piece of paper, we don't have to be married, you've been dating him for like 7 years, come on. Please. Okay? Please. And this is not to say that, oh, after 6 months of meeting him, he wants to marry you. Oh, wow, great. That's still sus, okay? It's still suspicious. Because it's kind of early. Some people say, oh, 2 weeks of dating, we got married. Yeah? 2 weeks of dating who? Do you want to marry after 2 weeks? Something is wrong somewhere. And that's why you're putting me under pressure, I suspect. Okay? So get to know the person. Max. 1 year. A year and a half. I think that's enough to know somebody. To know whether or not you can tolerate this person. But 6 months is nowhere close to being enough to know whether you're tolerant of this person or not. Right? And that's just, you know, how I see it. I think one more thing I wanted to say. Oh, what's that thing I wanted to say? Oh, I thought about it. I said I was going to discuss it. Oh, yeah. Be an interesting person. Please. Not just for your partner, but for yourself. Like, routine can be so upsetting. I don't like routine at all. I know someone who has asked me like 50 billion times what I'm afraid of the most. And because I didn't have anything to say, I picked up what he is scared of. And I said, that's what I'm scared of the most. But in a way, it's true. But I think what I'm very afraid of is mediocrity. A mediocre life. Jesus. I'm not doing that. Anybody leave a mediocre life? Absolutely not. That's what I'm most scared of in my entire life. And I think mediocrity also includes lack of financial stability. So in a way, yeah, it's the same thing. But, and that's where being boring comes in. Me, I know how to create my own fun. Trust me. As somebody who likes to live in solitude and self-isolates, I can tell you that creating my own fun has never been a problem for me. I just need to have money. And even when I don't have money, listen, having money helps you create a grandiose type of fun, right? It creates, like, on a higher scale, it just boosts your fun to 100. But even if you don't have money, even if I don't have money, I create my own fun. I find things to do to entertain myself. Okay? So, don't be boring. Switch it up. You have to do it in such a way that you enjoy it. So you're not doing it because you're being performative to your partner. You're doing it because that's what you enjoy, you know? Today you have orange hair, tomorrow it's yellow, next tomorrow it's like, it can be literal, but it doesn't have to be. You can experiment with things. Learn how to bake, learn how to cook something different. Shop a different style in your wardrobe, wear something different, wear your makeup differently. Like, always have something to entertain yourself with, because that's the only way you can not be a boring person. Right? That's the only way. And that's how it works. So don't be a routine person every day. Like if you're a stay-at-home, you know, partner, every day your partner wakes up, you make him lunch. Hey, Paxton, like, if you cook, go. If you cook, you make him lunch, he takes it to work, he comes back, you wash the plates. If that's what you do, or if you have a chef. In fact, if you have a chef, it's even more entertaining because all that waking up in the morning, like, you'd wear yourself out very quickly. Very, very quickly, you'd wear yourself out. You'd be tired cooking for him every day, every day, every day. You'll be exhausted some days. Hire someone to do it. Some days, order out. Some days, eat in the garden or in the, like, a different space, or create a different space in your house. Eat there. Cook together. I don't know. Sometimes, like, let your partner come home and not find you home. But maybe find your food home. Or let your partner come home and not find any food, and then order out. Or be fun. Be spontaneous. If that's what your partner likes, okay? And even if they don't like it, if it's what you like, then your partner automatically should like it. That's how I see it, chat. If you like it, honestly, I'm not bothered whether, you know, it's something he finds interesting or not. That's his business. Okay? I'm creating my fun so that I'm not bored out of my mind doing the same thing over and over and over again. Alrighty. I think that's just, you know, about it. If there's any other thing that I remember, I would come here and I'll tell you again. But for now, that's just it. I'm saying this because I just want you to understand that if this is something you really want to be a part of, if this is how you want to live your life, because you're just really sick and tired of always struggling with men for power positions and spreading and trying to, you know, and then really scrape the... If that's what you want as a woman, go for it. Take everything you can take through your strength and power as an alpha female, alpha woman. I honestly would support you. I'm not the kind of person who, because I practice one thing, I will not support you if you say, oh, you want to do something else, because it's not affecting my decisions. Of course, I can't force you to do something you don't want to do or be someone you don't want to be. Go ahead. I support you completely, fully. I'm even behind you, and I'm even, you know, telling you, go girl, you do it. Show him who's boss. Right? If it's not something you want to do, and you're just sick and tired of all that day-to-day activity of always having arguments with... I just don't like arguing with men. When I see a man is trying to start an argument with me, I remove myself from the situation because because I come from a family of lawyers and journalists, and he will not win the argument. He won't win the argument. Let me say that again. He will not win the argument. So I'd rather not even go down that road, and then at the end of the discussion, in quote, he would now say something like, you're very stubborn, or you're so stuck in your ways. I don't want to have that. And then have me say stubborn, because that just gets my dick so hard. Like, you think I'm stubborn? No, I'm actually going to show you how stubborn I can get. I'm joking, but yeah. I'm joking, really. I just don't like arguing with men because it's just not me. You'd never ever catch me arguing with men or women. I don't like arguing with anybody anyway. It's stressful. I don't gain anything from it. Nothing is being put. If you paid me to argue, I might just consider it, right? But I'm not being paid to spend so much energy. Absolutely not. Thank you. Next. All right. It was so nice hanging out with you for 49 minutes. It's almost 50 minutes. 50 minutes now. Wow. Look at us. Bonding. We're bonding. I like this very much. We should do this more, I think. Oh, I would try to. If you like this, please don't forget to give it a thumbs up or support by liking and sharing. Yeah, I think that's about it. Until next time, girlies. Toodaloo. Bye for now.